I think right now, if you're talking about Nairobi music scene, you must be talking about trance. Because just like I said, it's about trance right now. Because if you, there's nobody who's singing about the pandemic anymore. There's nobody who's singing about, people are going back to what they wanted to relieve. I think it's for relieving sessions. There's this generation that is taking over, and it's called Genge, Ton, Wo, you see. But the thing I'm saying is, people are going after the trends. Music is left over, shaky. Otieno Gomba. So today, if I go to the pub and I request Musa Juma or I request a rumba song, they'll tell me you're out of. We don't even have that music here. So now they say we are gangeton or what, or what. But then there's this also another dimension. There's this, if you go to Westlands, probably I won't listen to Angla. That's my Nairobi, you know.
Yeah, like experience yako in recording music in Nairobi as like M2 band experience or
M2 band experience is, has always been very, how can I call it? It was meant to heal. It was meant to, like, if I ask between the person who's performing the music and the dancer, who's enjoying the music most? That's why M2 band was there. Like, we can play our own. And if somebody else feel like playing it, dancing to it, then I'll be more obliged to that. Because we're junk. You know, we play music from junk. We play music from whatever we have. For me, I look at all of this and I think people should be open. We should be open to new things. We should be open to what's coming up. We should be open to the future. We should be open also to the past. Because if I say my music would just come out of nowhere, probably it comes from what I've had. Probably it, what inspires me, what was, what I had.
Yeah, my experience of Nairobi in the now. Right now, Nairobi is full of color, depending on how you choose to look at it. Right now, Nairobi is full with opportunities. Again, afresh after the pandemic. And I believe it's a good time for artists to revive themselves and to come together again to do things that they love. Because there's a way in which my current experience has also been marred by the COVID-19 pandemic. And as an artist, as a musician, as a writer, and just like anyone else, everyone was hit hard. So, but when the countries open a bit, it gives an illusion of freedom, or maybe freedom itself for some people. For me personally, right now, I feel like I'm in a great place.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for passing by my shrine.
I'm ready.
Welcome to the greenhouse. Yeah, kwa majina najulikana kama MC Sharon, aka Al-Shabaab Mami Yao, aka Decibel, the goddess of sound. So I'm an interdisciplinary artist. I sing, I rap, I produce music. You know, the cards have been shuffled in the decks, you know. Nothing is the same anymore. Nothing is in black and white. So I can't say that there's a particular aggregate of a Nairobian except living in Nairobi and sharing their own individual life experiences as Nairobians underneath the larger collective. Mm. So I feel like it's too wide. It's too wide, maybe a topic to narrow down.
Yeah.
But as a Nairobian, I know you have to be a go-getter.
Yeah.
You have to be able to wake up and grind and pay bills. Like most people don't even have gardens where maybe they can get mboga or ugali. People have to buy everything. At least in shags, you could get some stuff from the ground. So, of course, already being in Nairobi, the competition is high. I think we are 7-8 million now in Nairobi alone. To be honest, sit down.
Does MC Sharon give a shit about the elections in August?
Of course, I'm a bit concerned, but I'm avoiding to be deeply invested in it because I know the pattern never changes. So I might even vote. I will vote, I think, because there are seats I would really like to vote for where I live.
Okay.
So, but I'm not as emotionally invested as I once was. Conscious music has never died. It's just most of the time it's never mainstream. But in recent years, we have social media. So anyone can blow up anytime. It's no longer even about that, you know. But right now, like socially conscious artists such as myself, we want it all. Yeah, we want the money, we want the fame, we want the recognition, we want the flowers before we're dead.
You know, without apologies. Introvertai kwanza nigonge na snare. Ratata kwanza pale kwa center. Drama man, you got me feeling like I'm gonna grab a mic and drop a line or two. I'm pointing like Shiba.
So my name is Giuliani. I'm a hip hop artist from Kenya, and of course I care about what's happening around me. I have thoughts around it, and I'm trying to mobilize people to think a certain way in Nairobi specifically, so that of course we can influence. What do we need to do to mitigate basically anything that is anti-human?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, figure out whatever. So I feel like that's the role of music,
mm-hmm.
and the role of any human being to advance humanity. You know? So it doesn't have to be the biggest thing ever that is revolutionary, but we just need to be aware and be conscious about our surroundings,
mm-hmm.
and question it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it means for me. There was a global festival around inequality,
mm-hmm.
and different artists from around the world were doing performances. So we thought, what's the best way of showing exactly what equality means?
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way of that, even doing it in the at the dam site? We grew up around that dam site, and now I'm old, I'm 37 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it's still it's becoming even big. Of course, the government is trying to do something around it right now,
mm-hmm.
but the health effect of that in that community, the economic effect in that community,
mm-hmm.
it's visible and it's alive. And so how do we show this? So we did a concert in the middle of the dam site. Of course, we have a project just nearby. It was easier for us to do it. The response I got from people,
mm-hmm.
of course, you always have people saying, oh, you're romanticizing poverty porn, and somebody else is saying something. But the beautiful thing that conversion even started, that's what we wanted. Uh-huh. So if you think that's poverty porn, it means you're not a... if you're a Nairobian and you're a Kenyan, mm-hmm. and you use products every day,
yeah.
and you don't see that's a problem,
mm-hmm.
and that's a reality, and you are the problem. You are the problem. I think every music has a message and have a mission. The only difference is that you know it or you don't. Every artist from Genge Tone to a love song to whatever, it all has a message. It always has an end game to it.
Mm-hmm.
You want people to love themselves, love each other more, or love themselves more, or whatever. The only difference is that mine is conscious. I'm aware of why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I know the impact of it. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference.
Western classical music in Nairobi, in Kenya. And so I think very quickly I learned that I work within a space that people don't know much about. And people, you know, generally speaking, are not knowing how to engage with that. Hello, my name is Nyokabi Karaoke. I am a composer from Nairobi, Kenya. Although I spend my time between New York, Maryland, during this pandemic, and Nairobi. I see myself in the classical, contemporary / experimental realm, where I write concert music, I write film music, and I write electronic music. And somehow find a way to combine all these different elements to create work that a lot of the time, especially recently, is concerned with home, whatever that means. Being Kenya, could be languages, could be my culture as a Kikuyu, as a woman, as a Black person in the world today. So, yeah. Experimental music is inherently like against the systems. That's why it's quote unquote experimental. I think it's within itself, it's artists who are like, this is what we've been told we need to do, but I am pushing back against that, or I want to imagine something beyond that. To me, a lot of what I was seeing of Kenyan music was like the new Nairobi scene. And I'm, you know, a lot of what we see has to do with, at least for me, social media, the people I went to school with. And so, it was a very small perspective. Although it is true that there are certain like barriers to doing something like electronic music, because, you know, equipment isn't cheap sometimes. You have to take courses to learn them. You could find it on YouTube, or you'd have to take courses, but even still, you need a computer. So there are definitely these barriers that exist that, you know, I'm not in a position to understand that perspective, because I, you know, had a privileged, upbringing in that context. And again, I think that also influenced the fact that I was only seeing a very small scene of people. But I think now it's kind of my understanding is growing. And again, I wouldn't know who's listening to this music. I have no idea. I go down.
I go down at 6 a.m. to swim.
So, first to introduce myself, my name is Dennis Moragori. I'm an artist based in Nairobi, Kenya. I work in different mediums, but I'm currently my work is revolving around matatus, which are basically the name given to the public service vehicles that transport people across the city, especially in Nairobi, but even beyond and all across the country. So that's our main transport, main mode of transport. Most people don't, I think, most people use the public means to travel. It's like they adapt the character of the people maybe who own it or operate it. Most of the decorations, or I would say they are, for lack of a better word, pimped. They pimp up the matatus using paint jobs that are derived from.
Sorry about that. Let me just pause so that I'm running.
They reflect, they also, beyond being movers of people from A to B, they kind of adapt a culture where they are decorated or pimped using a lot of imagery that is is reflective of the popular culture, both locally and international. And most of it is derived from music. And dominantly hip-hop and reggae and other affiliated imagery like fashion, cars, just things that are affiliated with the pop culture. Also, notoriously play loud music. They are known for playing music, basically. People say loud music when they want to make it sound a bit negative, but I, for one, am one of those people who enjoyed the music in matatu, so I would just say it's music played according to how we the people of that time, the generation of that time, like to listen to it, whether loud. At one time it was a lot of tutors. Nowadays it's a lot of treble and bass. So it changes according to, it's a reflection of what people are into. Mostly, especially when it comes to music and fashion. So it doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's part of, I say it's a window into the lives of the people that use the matatus. Talking about the issues of the day, which I think sometimes it's the times. Sometimes people just want to feel good. Sometimes people get back to serious business and they realize life is not just about feeling good. So it goes in cycles. So right now I feel like conscious music is making a comeback. By conscious music, I'm implying music that is reflective of, is talking about the issues of the day, sometimes not in a feel-good way, but the music is done well. So, as a form of art that I observe, matatus to me are the main form of art, like in Kenya, because you don't need to go to a gallery to see, and it communicates what it's a reflection of what is being consumed, especially in the entertainment sphere. And they are like, I've seen them like concept art concept boxes. Similarly, it's because it's like they are trying to outdo each other. Who has the best music, who has the best art, who has the best crew. So it's kind of a reflect, it's like a theater, a moving theater of some sort. Yeah.
Thank you so much,
Karibu.